Axis Mundi.
Eight days before the Capitol insurrection, on December 29th, 2020, a group of 15 apostles and prophets, including Dutch Sheets and Becca Greenwood, two of the members of Peter Wagner's Eagles Vision Apostolic Team, toured around Washington, D.C., doing spiritual warfare at different monuments. That afternoon, they had a more than two-hour meeting with high-level Trump administration officials in a conference room in the White House. This meeting has never been reported on before. How did these new Apostolic Reformation leaders get that access? What were they doing there in the lead-up to January 6th? Who did they meet with? So far as I can find, neither Dutch Sheets nor Becca Greenwood has ever spoken publicly about this meeting. It's pretty clear that this was not supposed to be public knowledge. But others who were there with them have not been quite so careful or tight-lipped.
We would also pray at the White House. We were permitted to do that. And we had a two-hour time to pray at the White House and make some decrees that God had given to us. Strategy was given to us from people in the know around there that I cannot really talk about.
But that's the team came together and we followed the dream and ended up at the White House for much longer than we were scheduled to be there. And it was a very powerful time. We were at the White House for a couple of hours of things that are rather amazing. At the highest levels of our nation, God is not only speaking, but he's being heard. We need a reconstitution in our nation, and that's the level at which we are headed. So buckle up your seatbelts on your horse you're riding, and get ready to gallop, and get your sword bloody in the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So,
as we revealed in the last episode, Becca Greenwood would show up at the Capitol on January 6th, leading spiritual warfare alongside Cindy Jacobs, even as the violence commenced. Dutch Sheets was also present that day, except he literally dialed into the riot by speakerphone.
This violence and the spirit of violence and the spirit of wrath does not produce righteousness. Take authority over it now. We declare peace over the Capitol grounds in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've already established that the NAR and the networks of independent charismatic Christians they mobilized were integral to the Christian ethos of the Capitol riot. But why were two of Peter Wagner's closest disciples, leaders from the innermost core of the New Apostolic Reformation, in conversation with White House officials just days before January 6th? What was the strategy they were receiving? Who were the people at the highest levels of our nation that were listening to them? And what was the interest within the Trump administration in evidently coordinating with apostles and prophets in the lead-up to January 6th?
Welcome to Charismatic Revival Fury, the New Apostolic Reformation, a special series by Straight White American Jesus, created and written by Dr. Matthew Taylor and produced by me, Bradley Onishi. Our sound engineer is Scott Okamoto. If you enjoy the series, please think about giving us a review on Apple Podcast, hitting subscribe in your podcast player, and checking out all that we do at Straight White American Jesus on our website and on our Patreon. Thanks for being here. Here's the show.
But I want to remind you that the New Apostolic Reformation is the most radical change in the way of doing church since the Protestant Reformation. Well, that's what we're springing off into the 21st century.
And Jesus is going to rise up, and we're going to rule and reign through President Trump, and under the lordship of Jesus Christ,
riots and revival actually erupt together.
Why shouldn't we be the ones leading the way in all spheres of society?
There's this deluge of revival coming. There's a rushing mighty wind on steroids.
I said many years ago that we would even come to a place of civil war if this continues.
Let me see if I can recap where we've been so far, Matt. In the first episode, you introduced us to Peter Wagner, this retired seminary professor who coined the term the New Apostolic Reformation in the 1990s. And then in the 2000s, he built a set of networked institutions that would serve as the scaffolding for the NAR idea. Over the last three episodes, you've introduced us to each of the three concepts that are the legs of the New Apostolic Reformation stool: the primary leadership of apostles and prophets in the church, the dominion mandate and Seven Mountains framework for taking control over societies, and these strategic spiritual warfare practices that show up everywhere on January 6th. We also learned in the last episode that the prophet Cindy Jacobs, one of Wagner's closest friends and associates, was at the White House on January 5th to do spiritual warfare and pray over an unidentified Trump administration official. And then Cindy Jacobs and Becca Greenwood show up at the Capitol on January 6th to lead spiritual warfare during the insurrection. Now you're saying there was another longer White House meeting the week before that involved Becca Greenwood and another of Wagner's closest disciples. We've obviously heard about Becca Greenwood before, and you've mentioned Dutch Sheets' name a few times in the series, but he's mostly just been referred to as another member of Wagner's inner circle, along with Che Ahn and Cindy Jacobs, Lance Wallnau, and others. So let's start here. Who is Dutch Sheets, and what was his connection to Peter Wagner?
Dutch Sheets is another of these young, promising charismatic leaders who fell into Peter Wagner's orbit in the 1990s. Sheets was very close to Cindy Jacobs, and he and Peter Wagner served on the board of Jacobs' Generals of Intercession organization together. Along with Peter Wagner and Cindy Jacobs, Dutch Sheets was a respected leader in what was called the prayer movement in the 1990s. This was the world where all of these strategic spiritual warfare concepts were being worked out, and Dutch Sheets was very much a part of working with Wagner and Jacobs on developing these paradigms, building these massive global strategic prayer networks, mobilizing strategic prayer campaigns, the whole program.
In the 1990s, God began stirring Peter's heart toward prayer. He studied prayer, wrote several books on the subject, gathered tens of thousands of people for prayer assemblies, and was the single greatest catalyst for the worldwide prayer movement that began in the 90s and continues today. It was at this point that Holy Spirit brought Peter into my life. His strong belief in the power of the pen caused him to urge those of us with teachings on prayer to put them in book form. This is when I wrote Intercessory Prayer, which has been used around the world. Peter wrote the foreword. His influence in my life cannot be overstated. Dr. Wagner graduated to heaven in...
While he was still at Fuller Seminary in the late 90s, Wagner would be teaching classes with titles like Discerning Spiritual Strongholds and Confronting the Powers and The New Apostolic Paradigm, very much edging toward his eventual career shift away from Fuller and into the NAR. And he would invite Dutch Sheets and Cindy Jacobs and others of his disciples in to guest lecture in his Fuller courses. He regularly assigned the book Intercessory Prayer by Dutch Sheets as required reading. From the 1990s until 2010, Sheets was the pastor of a charismatic church called Freedom Church in Colorado Springs. So he became even closer to Peter Wagner when Wagner moved to Colorado Springs as he retired from Fuller. Peter and Doris Wagner even attended Dutch Sheets' church for a number of years. So he had this interesting dual-track relationship where he was simultaneously being mentored by Peter Wagner while also serving as the Wagner's pastor. Well, as Peter Wagner fully enters this transition into embracing the ideas of apostles and prophets leading the church and theorizing and then working to build out the infrastructure for the New Apostolic Reformation, Dutch Sheets, like Che Ahn and Cindy Jacobs, really sticks close to Wagner and mimics his theology. As Cindy Jacobs and Wagner are starting the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders, Dutch Sheets is part of that prophetic roundtable from the start. When Wagner creates his Eagles Vision Apostolic Team as his true inner circle of mentees, Dutch Sheets is part of the group. And he also serves as the chancellor for the Colorado campus of Wagner Leadership Institute. Because of his deep ties to the prayer movement, Wagner has Sheets help lead this ongoing United States Strategic Prayer Network, that 50-state network of strategic spiritual warriors. Cindy Jacobs and Dutch Sheets kind of trade off or work together to lead the Strategic Prayer Network for a number of years. So far, everything I've just outlined about Sheets is in perfect parallel with Che On or Cindy Jacobs. He was a Peter Wagner acolyte and loyalist who called Peter his spiritual father. But unlike Che On or Cindy Jacobs or even Lance Wolnow, Dutch Sheets had a more independent and hardline streak. Around 2008 or 2009, as Peter Wagner was in the process of retiring, a rift emerged between Wagner and Sheets. It wasn't hostile per se, and they did remain friends until Wagner's death in 2016, but Sheets decided to withdraw from the Eagles Vision Apostolic Team to strike out on his own. His withdrawal actually cleared the way for Becca Greenwood to join EVAT, because Wagner had strict rules about how many people could be in EVAT at a time. So Becca Greenwood, who is really almost a full generation younger than most of the original EVAT members, essentially replaces Dutch Sheets in the group around 2009. This separation between Sheets and Wagner was occasioned in part by a dream that Peter Wagner had, where he was in a car and Dutch Sheets was in the driver's seat. Lance Wolnow and Dutch Sheets thought this was a very significant and even prophetic dream that meant that Sheets needed to take on a different level of leadership as Wagner retired. What's also evident from Sheets' comments at the time and later was that he had become impatient with all this talk about the Seven Mountains and Dominion, but then not seeing any real progress toward Dominion or transformation in society.
We have had a movement now. That's too strong a word. We have had teaching that has been of the Spirit for 10, 15 years now, saying transformation, mountains, culture, society. Let me just tell you, we have had no ability to do that. That's just Holy Spirit preparing the way. And we sing, take our cities and this and that. We haven't taken one yet. We haven't transformed a mountain yet. We have not. It would have been impossible to have brought the level of transformation and change that we've been teaching and preaching. Thank God for the Lance Wolnows and anybody else that's carried that message. It would have been impossible up to now to do that. And Holy Spirit knew that. He's just preparing the way. He's planting the seeds so that when Mark 16 starts to happen. What's beautiful is that what is coming is so strong. What God's about to do is so strong, and the outpouring of His Spirit is going to be so profound, and so many millions of people are going to be swept into the kingdom from every mountain, from every walk of life, from government, business, media, campuses, kids, young, old, black, white, Latino, Asian American. There's this deluge of revival coming. There's a rushing mighty wind on steroids that is coming into this nation and the nations of the earth. And we are going to be more positioned than we've ever been in history to transform nations almost overnight. Because we understand His authority now.
It's pretty clear the Dutch Sheets didn't feel like Wagner and the rest of the New Apostolic Reformation was going fast enough. I came across some notes written by Peter Wagner from some meetings he had with Sheets in 2009, as Sheets was breaking away from EVAT and trying to articulate and carve out his own ideas as distinct from Wagner's ideas or Lance Wolnow's ideas. It's clear from the notes that Sheets wanted to strategize for more immediate societal transformation, conquering the Seven Mountains at a faster clip, and organizing these apostolic centers and hubs more structurally to impact local and regional governments in the near and long term. Among the NAR apostles and prophets, Dutch Sheets is even more focused on government than most of them.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
He's a big proponent, maybe the most important proponent, of this ecclesia theology that we got a sample of from Sean Foyt, that teaches that Jesus commissioned the church, the ecclesia, governed by apostles and prophets, to be the ruling government on the earth.
I need a government. Ecclesia. Not an earthly thing. Don't picture Washington, D.C. Picture spiritual authority, and the king delegates and reveals what he wants, and through spiritual authority, it's implemented through his family. But that's what Jesus said, go disciple nations, because you're my ecclesia. And you're going to go in with apostolic authority and wisdom. You're going to disciple those nations for me after they come into the family, the kingdom of Rome, I mean the kingdom of heaven. And you're responsible to make them think like heaven.
As I've said before, the origin point of particular ideas can be hard to track in these independent charismatic circles, because you have these prophetic memes floating around, and everyone's riffing on each other's potent ideas. But near as I can tell, this ecclesia theology really begins with Dutch Sheets. You can see him putting together sort of an adolescent form of this ecclesia idea in those notes from Wagner's meetings with Sheets in 2009. And there are videos online of Sheets starting to tentatively teach about this theology at a New Apostolic Reformation conference in 2011, with C. Peter Wagner, who was then retired, sitting in the front row nodding along. So, as far as I can trace it back, this ecclesia theology that is truly on everyone's lips today, including Sean Foyt's, actually emerges from this season where Sheets is splitting off from Wagner to take the driver's seat and formulate and articulate his own ideas. Central to this ecclesia theology is the idea that apostles and prophets are empowered to govern the earth with God's kingly authority. They represent God's government on earth, and they can decree and declare, using divine power, to defeat principalities and powers and colonize the earth with a culture of heaven. So Sheets is one of the foremost apostles who's really pushing this ecclesia theology, which is really functioning as a kind of evolution, a charismatic dominion theology 2.0. And he talks a lot about finding an interface between civil government and spiritual government. When Wagner did retire, he handed off much of the United States Strategic Prayer Network, this infrastructure of thousands of strategic spiritual warriors, over to Cindy Jacobs. But some USSPN leaders choose to affiliate more with Dutch Sheets and follow him. I wouldn't think of this as Dutch Sheets and Cindy Jacobs competing over these prayer networks. Remember, their friendship goes way back, so much as the two of them having these enormous overlapping prayer networks. The prayer coordinators could affiliate with both and draw on updates and prayer campaigns from both Sheets and Jacobs. Now, it's worth noting that these prayer warrior networks are not just a list of people who are sitting at home in their basement praying. Remember, that is not the model of prayer and spiritual warfare. These 50-state prayer coordinators are pastors, and often apostles and prophets themselves, with huge networks of churches looking to them for leadership. They are also activists who are boots on the ground. They are actively, intentionally lobbying or cultivating relationships with local politicians. These are the types of people who, if you see a news article about a governor or mayor meets with local faith leaders, dollars to donuts, one of these prayer leaders will be in the photo, especially if the governor or mayor is a Republican. These are the front lines, conservative, local charismatic activists in each of the 50 states. And for about the last two decades, all of these folks are taking signals from Dutch Sheets and Cindy Jacobs as to where to direct the superstructure of spiritual warfare mobilization. The other piece you need to understand to grasp how things play out in 2020 is that Dutch Sheets in the year 2013 creates a very, very powerful prophetic meme. As we talked about in the episode about the Seven Mountains, what I call prophetic memes are the virtual carriers of theology, the universally accepted prophetic revelations in this independent charismatic world. And one of the things that makes the NAR leaders so influential in the independent charismatic sector is that they are very good at developing lasting and catchy prophetic memes. Well, in 2013, Dutch Sheets had a friend give him a gift of a flag from early American history. It's a white flag with a green pine tree on the center of the flag, and the phrase across the top reads, "An appeal to heaven." This flag has a very interesting history. It was originally commissioned to be flown by Commander-in-Chief George Washington over the Massachusetts Navy during the Revolutionary War. And for Sheets, it became a sort of totem of American history and America's prophetic destiny. The Founding Fathers made an appeal to heaven, and now 21st century Christians can also appeal to heaven. Like any good prophetic meme, this one combines and remixes other prophetic memes. The idea of a global third great awakening that will begin in America, the belief in an ancient covenant between America and God, and the need for spiritual warfare to fulfill that covenant. The appeal to heaven flag and concept becomes one of the most prominent strategic spiritual warfare campaigns of the 2010s. It's led by General, and he might even warm to the title, Commander-in-Chief Dutch Sheets, and it's calling Christians to rally around this flag. Sheets begins preaching about this idea with his prolific prophetic speaking tours, and he writes a book in 2015 titled An Appeal to Heaven. This Appeal to Heaven campaign really explodes on the scene in the midst of the 2016 presidential campaign, just after the 2015 Supreme Court Obergefell decision that legalized same-sex marriage and left many evangelical and Pentecostal Christians feeling very out of step with American culture, very much in need of appealing to heaven to recapture the America they lost.
Sheets, who's led many national calls to prayer, says the Appeal to Heaven flag is the same design used by George Washington's ragtag army during the Revolution, a war where there seemed to be no hope or path to victory.
We can't defeat the British. We can't get our independence, humanly speaking. We have no army. We don't have the weapons. We don't have the money. They have all of it. They have the greatest empire maybe ever. But if God is in this, if this is God's idea, if he really is raising up a city on a hill to be a light to the nations, he'll help us. And they put that on the flag, appeal to heaven. And that's what it means. There's no other hope. So we're going to appeal to heaven.
She says an appeal to heaven is more than a series of prayer meetings, but a movement designed to wake up the body of Christ and let them know when it comes to America, it ain't over.
And I don't care what they say about the unborn. I don't care what they say about marriage. It ain't over till God says it's over. It's not settled law. He says it's settled law. We're going to change these things.
He's also unveiled a free iPhone app that will spread this movement to the digital and social media universe. It's called Give Him 15.
For the first time, technology allows us, we can get everybody on board. They don't have to watch the same TV program. They don't have to go to the same church. They don't have to be a part of the same movement. All they have to do is pull their phone out and say, okay, I'll do this. Lord, I pray for and know that all over this nation, millions of people are going to be praying that same prayer. Talk about the power of agreement and the synergy that can take place.
As these events move,
starting in 2013, and then ramping up through the 2016 campaign and continuing even to today, you see these appeal to heaven flags popping up in political rallies, in the background of conservative legislators when they're speaking. They have even been flown over state capitol buildings. The brilliance of the appeal to heaven meme is that it really is an object, an artifact from American history. So when it's questioned, people can say they're just referencing George Washington and a piece of Americana. But to the people in the know, the people who follow this nationwide prayer movement coordinated by Dutch Sheets, They know that the Appeal to Heaven flag means spiritual warfare-driven styles of Christian nationalism and Christian supremacy. And all this Appeal to Heaven campaign is also importantly driven by Dutch Sheets' Give Him 15 app. For people familiar with evangelical lingo, Give Him 15 is a daily devotional app. Every day, beginning in 2015 and right up until the present, Dutch Sheets offers a short, less than 15-minute reflection or lesson on prayer and theology, and then invites people to pray a prayer and prophetically decree and declare certain things. This becomes one of the major vehicles for how the Appeal to Heaven meme is spread around the country.
Does Dutch Sheets support Donald Trump in 2016?
He does. I mean, of course he does. Everyone in the New Apostolic Reformation and Wagner circles, as far as I can find, supported Trump. But Dutch Sheets, as I mentioned, has a more deliberate mindset than Lance Wallnau or Peter Wagner, though he's certainly close to and inspired by both Wallnau and Wagner. Wagner and Wallnau embrace Trump as a sort of Hail Mary pass. Wagner's Trump endorsement can roughly be translated as, he conquered two of the other seven mountains. Hell, why not see what he does with government? And Wallnau calls Trump God's chaos candidate. They sort of imagined a hopeful scenario in which Donald Trump shakes things up just enough that Christians can claw back a little influence and culture. You really see this with Wallnau, who throughout the Trump presidency seems pretty content to just be along for the ride and provide commentary and punditry to support Trump. Dutch Sheets is more strategic, and driven by this Appeal to Heaven prophecy, he sees Trump's election as an opening in the spirit realm for the ecclesia to make major gains in strategic spiritual warfare and in transforming American culture. In late December 2016, after Trump was elected, but before he was inaugurated, and just a couple months after Peter Wagner died, Sheets spoke at a prophetic conference alongside Becca Greenwood, Cindy Jacobs, and Lance Wallnau. And while others there were expressing their commemorations of Peter Wagner and their exuberance about being on the threshold of the Trump presidency, Dutch Sheets' emphasis was more sober and more urgent.
We're going to enter into a new level of warfare. I don't say this to frighten you, but we're going to face new levels of demonic desperation. It's going to manifest in people. New levels of desperation and anger and new strategies with which to oppose us. But if we just keep following the Lord, He's going to give us the answer for every demonic strategy that is raised up to try to come against us. We better be stirring intercession and appeals to heaven just as much now as we did a year ago. We had better not put our faith in man or political party or system. They will fail us. And if we don't pray for them, they'll be overcome by the same principalities and powers that overcame those in the past. We got to keep those things prayed off of them. And we've got to keep birthing Holy Spirit strategies for a nation. We got to birth for them what they don't know how to birth. We got to pray into being things they don't understand. They don't know how to pray. Their prayer, there are many of them. Trump is probably one of them. I'm not sure he could quote the Lord's Prayer. If he's a believer, which I believe, I take him at his word and others that know him, that he's born again now. But he is at best a baby Christian with very little understanding of Scripture, stumbling his way along, just like you were when you were born again, trying to find God's will. We're going to have to birth it in him. We're going to have to pray it into him. We're going to have to pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation into him. We're going to have to pray dreams into him, prophetic intercessors around him. We're going to have to pray for the Huckabees and others and the Carsons, the people, the Pences that God has put in his life. We're going to have to call them up in intercession into a higher place of revelation and understanding where they can walk into his office and say, I have heard from God. We're going to have to go to a new level of kingly declarations and decrees.
As we discussed in the last episode, what happens over the course of Donald Trump's presidency is a tremendous and unprecedented mobilization, and I would even use the term radicalization, of these prayer networks. They believe, very much under Dutch Sheets and Cindy Jacobs' guidance, that there's a unique window of opportunity created by Trump's presidency, and they have to use that opportunity to take as much spiritual territory and push the Trump administration to mold and revolutionize American society as fast as they can. Like Che On and Lou Engel, Dutch Sheets knows that the Supreme Court is going to be key to keeping hold of whatever cultural change they can prophesy and engineer into being. So that's why, for example, Dutch Sheets shows up with a prayer and spiritual warfare team at the Senate chambers during the Supreme Court nomination hearings for Brett Kavanaugh so that they can do strategic intercession. If you remember, who could forget, Christine Blasey Ford accused Kavanaugh of sexual assault decades earlier. But Sheets and Strategic Prayer Movement understand that argument about alleged past abuse as an arena of spiritual combat. They need to spiritually push Brett Kavanaugh through the nomination process. And as Trump governs according to the will of his evangelical advisors and institutes policies they embrace, the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem was huge for this prophecy crowd, the fervor around this appeal to heaven meme grows. By 2020, this appeal to heaven meme has become fully entwined with Donald Trump. In fact, a couple of weeks before the election, Trump is on the campaign trail in Nevada, and he goes to an apostolic church called the International Church of Las Vegas on a Sunday morning. This is one of those churches where the male pastor, Paul Goulet, is an apostle, and he's married to the female pastor, Denise Goulet, who's a prophet. It's a pretty common arrangement, though. Sometimes the genders of the apostle and prophet are reversed. Now, the Goulets had a long ties to Peter Wagner, and they were in the International Coalition of Apostles and in Peter Wagner's own personal apostolic network. On this Sunday, Trump is there in the church service, and Denise Goulet gets up on stage with some of the other prophets in the congregation and prophesies over him.
Good morning, Mr. President Trump. It's good to see you again. At 4:30, the Lord said to me, I am going to give your president a second win. Whoa! And the Lord said, he is ready for the next 4 years, and I'm giving him a second win. Do you understand that? And there's also this, a second wind, if you add D, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Lord showed me today, he showed me today that you were coming to get a second wind of a second, another infilling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit makes you able to finish. Take this to the end, Mr. President. And then he said to me that you were the apple of his eye. And that's what we are, friends. We're the apple of his eye. And that he's protecting you like he is protecting the ancient foundations of our nation. God wants to be in the middle of our nation.
Yes. And then I believe this is it right here. I believe that this is what's happening. There might have been a little bit of a setback, but that was nothing. It was a setup for the comeback.
Come on.
A double win. I decree and declare that right now.
Come on.
Come on.
But that's not all that happens that day. When he gets up to preach in the same service, Paul Goulet pulls out an appeal to heaven flag.
I saw this flag hanging out on the fence of the White House. It's time to appeal to heaven. So I'm going to proclaim something over every one of your lives and, of course, our president and his team. Do you know how many angels are surrounding this place right now? Because you've chosen to stand for good things. You've chosen to use your life for good, Mr. President. Because thank God, I've been privy to some of the things you're doing behind the scenes that the media won't talk about. But I need to tell you this right now. Heaven has sent his angels to protect you. Heaven has sent an army of angels. I'm unashamed to say this. I'm a Christian. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm appealing to heaven right now to bless this president, to bless his bride, Melania, First Lady, to bless his children, to bless his children's children. And it may be a mess right now, sir, but God chose a fighter to straighten this out.
Paul Goulet never directly mentions Dutch Sheets in his remarks to Trump or his church, but he doesn't have to. Sheets is a frequent guest speaker at the International Church of Las Vegas, and everyone there who's in the know already knows what the Appeal to Heaven meme is about. The image of Paul Goulet holding up an Appeal to Heaven flag with Trump silhouetted in the foreground just 2 weeks before the 2020 election goes viral on charismatic media and social media. Dutch Sheets is thrilled by this and posts pictures of it all over his own social media and talks about it wherever he's speaking. It was just a few days after this visit to the International Church of Las Vegas and receiving these prophecies that Trump declared he was no longer a Presbyterian, the church he was professedly raised and confirmed in, but he was now a non-denominational Christian.
Okay, so Dutch Sheets has his Appeal to Heaven flag meme that he's pushing, and it signifies a charismatic Christian nationalist reclaiming of America. He sees Donald Trump as a vehicle for Christians to really conquer the seven mountains of culture. So what is Dutch Sheets' mindset heading into the 2020 election?
Dutch Sheets sees everything through the lens of spiritual warfare. Like the other NAR leaders, Sheets is fond of this talk of war and violent imagery. Though I'd say he's probably the person in the group, after Peter Wagner, who's most willing to really get hyperbolic with this rhetoric of violence. In Sheets' mind, the will of God and the ecclesia, remember that's his coded language for the church is the real government from heaven, governed by apostles and prophets. So in Sheets' mind, the will of God and the ecclesia is perpetually battling against the demonic forces and secular human forces that oppose it. So for him, the 2020 election was always going to be an all-out spiritual skirmish between the ecclesia and the demonic realm. And this brings us inevitably to the idea of prophecy and how these New Apostolic Reformation leaders in the independent charismatic world understand prophecy. As we've talked about before, hundreds of these charismatic prophets prophesied that Donald Trump would win in 2020. But this is something that is deeply misunderstood in a lot of the press reporting and even some of the scholarship about charismatic prophets in the 2020 election. Many of us who are not a part of that world, when we hear that hundreds of charismatic prophets prophesied Donald Trump's re-election in 2020, we'll laugh and think, well, they sure must be embarrassed now because they got it wrong. But that misconstrues how these folks actually think about prophecy. Many of us will hear prophecy and think, if God wants something, then of course that thing happens. But that is more of a Calvinistic theology, rooted in a high conception of God's divine sovereignty and predestination. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and what God wants, God gets. But that was not Peter Wagner's theology. Wagner full-throatedly embraced a theological concept called open theism, or open theology, where the idea is that God has things that God wants, but God doesn't totally know the future. God allows space for human free will and other forces to interact with and even resist God's will. In open theism, God hasn't fully predetermined the future, as it is in Calvinism, but instead, God is in process with humanity, working alongside humanity. Not everyone in Wagner's circles fully embraced open theism, but many did, including Dutch Sheets. And others have what you might call a half-open theism, where there's always room for God to want something, but that thing might not happen. One popular charismatic way of explaining current-day prophecy is that it's not about foretelling, i.e. telling the future, but about forth-telling. In other words, God reveals God's will and God's desires to the prophets, but this is where you have to factor in this crucial spiritual warfare component. In this open theistic spiritual warfare worldview, God has things that God desires to happen, but there are these other forces, territorial spirits and demonic principalities and powers, that aim to thwart the will of God. So God needs Christians to step into the gap and pray and intercede and decree and declare and do spiritual battle to make God's will a reality. Put simply, charismatic prophecy does not encourage a sort of pious passivity and just waiting on God, but it fuels a frenetic activity to make the prophecies come true.
My faith stands still strong, primarily because of how God invades our lives with the prophetic. The prophetic realm is to encourage the saints, to encourage them to keep going, sustain us by the present word of the Lord so that we can fight the good fight of faith.
So when you have hundreds of charismatic prophets prophesying that Trump would win the 2020 election, and then Biden is declared the winner, but Trump refuses to concede, this was not interpreted as, we charismatics should just sit on our hands and watch and see what God does. No, these charismatic prophets and believers, almost as soon as the election was called for Biden, began to see this whole post-election, pre-inauguration season as now the real battle is laid out for what must be accomplished through strategic spiritual warfare. God wants Donald Trump to be president for another term, but Satan's forces, through the Democratic Party and weak Republicans, are trying to steal the election. So we need to step up and fight. This is what the Jericho marches and prayer protests and shofar blowing around state capitals was all about. God may have revealed God's will to the prophets, but you still need massive spiritual warfare campaigns led by prayer generals and having boots on the ground to win this particular battle. This is also what this decreeing and declaring business that Dutch Sheets and others are always talking about is for. God might ordain for things to happen, and they believe they know the will of God, but that will is not self-enacting. They need, as apostles and prophets, God's partners and spiritual authorities in the ecclesia to step up and use their authority to make God's will come to pass.
Even now, during this election battle, the Lord is anointing apostles and prophets to speak the truth and support those he has placed in government. God combined civil and spiritual government when he established America. I mean, that's not the first time he did it, obviously, but he did it in America when he established us. Our founders did not espouse today's separation between the two. Biblically, all government is supposed to flow from God's authority. And in fact, our founders' thinking was that it was impossible to rightly govern without him. We must be bold, prophesying our nation's future as God has ordained it. We must decide and decree what the future of America looks like. Not allow the prophets of Baal, the godless left, the media, and other haters of God to do so.
Okay, so there's all this prayer warfare mobilization around the 2020 election. Cheon and Lance Wellnow are touring swing states to make apostolic decrees. Cindy Jacobs is with Paula White Kane doing the One Voice prayer movement and spiritual warfare mobilization. And now we have this other piece, the Appeal to Heaven campaign, started by Dutch Sheets. However, Donald Trump doesn't win the 2020 election. Nothing goes to plan. So how does Dutch Sheets respond to this? What is his reaction to Trump's loss in 2020?
The minute the 2020 election is called for Joe Biden and Trump refuses to concede, Dutch Sheets goes straight into appeal to heaven commander-in-chief mode. He very consciously sees this as another opportunity, just like he saw Trump's 2016 win as an opportunity, a crucial hinge moment where America's destiny hangs in the balance, and he begins to mobilize every prayer network, every resource, every prayer warrior at his disposal to do spiritual battle on behalf of Donald Trump and overturning the election.
It is God's will for Trump to win this, not Biden. Some people mock that. They don't like to hear you say that. They don't think that God would make a choice that he's not involved, which is completely ludicrous. Why would God want a person to be president of the United States that believes in killing the babies up until birth? So when we have God's word and his ways behind us, and when we have as many dreams and prophetic words as we have telling us it's God's will, and when those dreams and prophetic words are continuing, we have no choice but to continue to fight.
We talked in the Lance Wallnau episode about how Wallnau really goes full court press for the big lie after the 2020 election. But the only NAR leader who could rival Lance Wallnau in this respect was Dutch Sheets. And remember, Dutch Sheets is a much more strategic thinker than Wallnau. Wallnau is all charisma and bravado and unscripted Facebook Live rants. He's brilliant, but he's far from systematic. Dutch Sheets is systematic. He organizes and orchestrates the post-election season all the way to the January 2021 inauguration as a programmatic, pro-Trump, appeal-to-heaven campaign. He has the full spectrum of social media and online tools at his disposal. He takes the existing platform that he had created in 2015, his Give Him 15 daily devotional app, and turns it into a daily spiritual warfare instruction manual for how to see Trump reinstated as president. Mind you, by late 2020, more than 500,000 people have downloaded this app, signaling at least some intention on their part to follow along daily with Dutch Sheets. But Sheets isn't content with that. Beginning as soon as the election is called for Biden, Sheets takes the kind of boring Give Him 15 format that is just a daily devotional text in an app and on his website and turns it into a daily YouTube video with Dutch Sheets himself soberly reading the text direct to camera. Every day, from November 7th, 2020, the day the election was called for Biden on most media outlets, to January 20th, 2021, Inauguration Day, you have Dutch Sheets pushing the appeal to heaven narrative, the big lie of the stolen election, and the call for spiritual warriors to mobilize collectively to see God intervene in American politics.
Please understand that our current battle is regarding the U.S. government, our battle in these elections, and much of the prayer that is taking place right now. The war over planet Earth is a governmental war. Who will rule the earth? The battle for humankind is governmental. Who will be their lord and master? The battle for the heavens is governmental. Who will be the most high? God is not into politics. The political spirit is a perversion of government, of God and government. But he is into government. Let me say it again. He's not into politics, but he is into government, big time. To believe otherwise is to forfeit his righteous influence on earth. And, of course, the very word he used to describe us in Scripture, ecclesia, means government.
These short 7 days a week YouTube videos become must-watch TV for charismatics and spiritual warriors in the season leading up to January 6th. By December, these daily YouTube videos are getting 200,000 views or more, day in and day out. And these Give Him 15 videos are also getting posted all over charismatic Facebook and Twitter. And the daily Give Him 15 videos become a sort of prophetic clearinghouse for new prophecies that different prophets in these new apostolic reformation circles are receiving. Prophets will send Dutch Sheets their new visions and dreams, and the ones he selects, he will read on the air. But each day, Sheets is also commenting on the ins and outs of the different legal wranglings by Trump's legal team, and blending together the words of the prophets with the battles around the big lie of Donald Trump's stolen election. As you get closer and closer to January 6th, these Give Him 15 daily updates become increasingly violent and increasingly focused on the Capitol building. This is part of that buildup as thousands and thousands of independent charismatics become fixated with that day and that location as the key locus of spiritual warfare.
Gina Golston, a prophetic friend of ours and member of the team I've been taking on prayer assignments around the nation, sent a powerful dream yesterday. It's a great way. Thinking about this dream is a great way to start the new year. We found ourselves in a field
and could see out in front of us the U.S. Capitol, the U.S. Capitol building. We mounted our horses, and as we sat looking at the building, we heard air sirens going off. These were like the air raid sirens you would hear in old World War II movies. As the sirens were sounding, we saw a huge hand come down from the sky and take hold of the dome of the Capitol building. With the fingers of the hand wrapped around the dome, the thumb of the hand flicked the dome open. The dome was hinged. When it was opened, a very thick black smoke began rising up out of the building. The smoke was so thick, it was almost solid and actually resembled a living thing. We then heard a cavalry bugle playing the signal to charge, and we began moving toward the Capitol, not at a full gallop, but at a steady, determined, fast trot. As we started, on the ground in front of us, written in white letters, were the words, "Don't stop." And that's the end of the dream. In dream symbolism, horses represent strength and speed. Though we were riding the horses in the dream, their characteristics probably picture us. We have become a strong army, capable of responding quickly. As we exited and saw the Capitol, we could see the hand of God taking action. He removed the lid, the covering, and exposed the darkness inside. Notice that it looked almost like a living creature. This is telling us the darkness is an alliance with evil spirits, probably a principality. God is coming to cleanse our government. Many in our Congress need to go.
Dutch Sheets would also, beginning in December 2020, become a regular with his friend Lance Wallnau on the Victory Channel's Flashpoint show that we talked about in the previous episode. If you go and look at the Facebook feeds of the many Christians who were there in the crowds surrounding the Capitol on January 6th, you will find, in the vast majority that I've seen, video clips from Flashpoint, Facebook live streams from Lance Wallnau, and daily Give Him 15 updates from Dutch Sheets. If you want to know what media was driving people to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, it wasn't just One American News Network or Trump's Twitter feed. It was this bombardment on charismatic media and podcasts saying the real spiritual battle will be at the Capitol.
But I want to remind you that the New Apostolic Reformation is the most radical change in the way of doing church since the Protestant Reformation. Well, that's what we're springing off into the 21st century.
And Jehu's going to rise up, and we're going to rule and reign through President Trump, and under the lordship of Jesus Christ, riots and revival actually erupt together.
Axis Mundi.